There's a question that preachers and church secretaries hear quite commonly. That question is, who is in charge here? That is, who is in charge of this church? Who is the one, or who are the ones, who make the decisions for this church? Now, that question sometimes comes from a salesman. Sometimes it comes from a person that is asking for help. It could even come from a government official. But people outside the church oftentimes assume that there must be some kind of structure in the church, that there has to be somebody in charge. And rightly so. So what is that organization according to the New Testament? According to what the Bible says, who should be making decisions, who should be in charge of the local congregation of God's people? Now, to stress God's plan for church organization, let's contrast God's way with man's ways and ask the question, who's in charge of this church? Well, oftentimes, if you go to a particular church building and you ask the question, who is in charge here? Here's the answer that you'll get. The priest. Oftentimes, it is a man who is called and known by the title, the priest, who runs that particular group of people. But we ask the question, the priest? Where's that in the Bible? Where do you find a man who is called the priest being over a church? This is not a biblical idea. This is not a biblical concept. You see, in the Bible, every Christian is a priest. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, notice what the Bible says. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Now, who is he talking to? Is he talking to a group of priests that he was writing to? No. He's writing to Christians in general. And he says that those Christians are a holy priesthood. And in verse 9, he says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9. And then also in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says that Jesus, who died for us, has made us kings and priests unto God. So in these passages that we've just looked at, the Bible plainly teaches that every Christian is a priest, and it nowhere talks about one man who is supposed to be called the priest being over a congregation. It's just not in the Bible. You see, in the Bible, Jesus is our great high priest. The book of Hebrews shows that Jesus is the high priest today, and Christians are priests under him. So the idea of a priest running a church is unbiblical. Here's another answer. If you ask the question, who is in charge of this church? Often the answer will be the pastor. Now that usually means the preacher. Now I ask you again, check your New Testament. And when you read the New Testament, you will find that it never talks about the, that is, one pastor of a church. It never does. Look at it for yourself. Read it from beginning to end. And ask if the New Testament ever talks about the pastor of this church. Whatever that congregation is. See if it ever mentions one man being called the pastor over a church. It's never there. Now you see, when you talk about elders being over the church, you have all kinds of passages that show that elders are to be over a congregation. But you never find the Bible talking about one man who is called the pastor being over a congregation. That's not biblical either. And besides, the word pastor means a shepherd. And we've already seen who the shepherds are of a congregation. Those men are elders, and we'll have more to say about that in the future. But here's a third idea. If you ask the question, who is in charge of this church? Sometimes the answer will be the deacons. Now, according to the Bible, in the New Testament, Deacons are servants. That is what the word deacon means. It means a minister or a servant. And according to the New Testament, deacons don't have any decision-making authority in the church. It's not there. Now again, you read your New Testament, and you look at every passage that you can find on deacons and see if deacons are ever said to have authority in the church. It's just not there. Now, on the other hand, the Bible says that elders are overseers, Acts 20, verse 28. The Bible says that elders have the oversight of the flock, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. The Bible says that members are to obey and submit to the elders, Hebrews 13, 17, and that same verse, Hebrews 13, 17, says that the elders rule. So they have to have authority to do that. Now, what I'm saying is that these things are never said about deacons in the New Testament. Deacons are never called overseers. They're never said to have the oversight. Members are never said to have the obligation to obey and submit to these deacons. And deacons are never described as ruling in the church. So when people say, well, the deacons run our church, that, again, is an idea that is not in the Bible. Other people say, well, our denomination makes the decisions for this particular congregation of that overall denomination. Friends, most denominations are set up like big government. As a matter of fact, they are forms of big government thinking. The local denominational church answers to some board or to some official who is or who are higher than that local congregation. And then that board or that official answers to somebody higher than him or them. And then that person or that group answers to the highest level of authority in that denomination. And so it's set up from the standpoint of a hierarchy, from the lowest to the highest level of authority. Now, of course, the question again here is this. Where is any of this in the Bible? Where does the Bible ever talk about a congregation, let's say like Corinth, asking permission from some state board of churches to do something that they want to do? That's nowhere in the Bible. You never read about this kind of hierarchy in the Scriptures. Well, where did it come from? If the Bible does not talk about a higher level of human organization than the local congregation, then where do these ideas about church government come from? Well, they come from men. They come from human beings. They don't come from the Bible. And so if we just follow the Bible, and this is what we want to do, isn't it? If we just want to stay with the Scriptures, then every congregation will be, as we say, autonomous. That means self-ruling. There will not be a state board or some kind of group or any kind of board above that local congregation. Each congregation runs its own business, and there's nothing on earth any higher than that. Now, here's another answer that you sometimes get, though, when you ask the question, who is in charge of this church? And the answer is, well, in this church, we vote on all the decisions that are made. So every man, every woman, and every young person considered to be a member of that church, all those people vote on every decision. Now, this sets aside some New Testament principles that are very clear. The Bible says that the younger are to submit to the elder. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Now, the word elder there in the King James Version does not refer to the office of an elder or the office of elders. It means older people in general. And so the younger in the church are to submit to the older in the church, and for good reason, because of their experience and because of what they have dealt with in their lives, the Bible says that the younger are to submit to the elder. Well, the idea of a total democracy in the church where everybody has a vote just sets aside the idea of the younger submitting to the elder because it puts the younger on the same level as a man who has been in the church for 30 or 40 or 50 years. Now, a second principle that is set aside in this purely democratic way of organizing a church is the principle that the women are to submit to the men. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12, the Bible plainly shows that men are to take the lead in the church. Well, if you put it to a vote and allow every member of the church to have equal authority, you're setting aside that principle that the women are to submit to the men. Again, 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. And besides this, this is just not God's plan. God's plan is to have elders, qualified men called elders, to rule over, that is, to oversee a congregation. Now, here are some verses showing that elders are to make decisions in behalf of the congregation. And I'm talking about, of course, decisions in matters of judgment. First of all, let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. Hebrews 13, verse 7, I want you to notice the wording here very carefully. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Notice the wording. The Bible says that you are to obey these people. Obey the ones who have the rule over you. So they have the rule over you. That is, they have some degree, some measure of authority over you. You are to obey them and submit to them. Now, he can't be talking about government rulers here, because government authorities do not watch out for your soul. They watch out for your earthly life, but not for your soul. This must be talking about elders. And in verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you. So three times in this chapter of Hebrews 13, the Bible talks about these elders having this rule or authority. But let's go back to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy, and we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, because here the Bible specifically says and talks about elders ruling. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17 says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. And finally, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter 5, beginning in verse 1, Peter said, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now, friends, there is where he stresses the authority of the elders. He says, don't do this by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. In other words, don't abuse your power. Don't become church tyrants, but be examples to the flock as you exercise this authority. So God wants elders to be over the church, just as he wants parents to be over the home. Let us all respect that plan.